welcome to your new life and our new times in what has been labeled as humanity's greatest leap in evolution. Dr. K is here to assist you with holistic tips and tools, clearings and activations for your vibrational upgrade. Dr. Allison J. K. has been working as an energy medicine practitioner for 20 years, having lived in Asia for 10 years to study subtle energy. People refer to Dr. K. as the lightning bolt due to the high voltage of the work she does on behalf of assisting you to thrive in mind, body, and spirit. That is the greatest backdrop to life on planet Earth right now.
Wow, how has your day been? How has your week been? How many of you are here actually able to listen live this week with Christmas just next week for those of us in the States here? It's a pretty intense energy. And on top of that, yeah. So those of you who listened last week, I had a lot of feedback about last week's show with Revolutionary Goddess, and it's the first time on the show, and on Wednesday night, I had the inspiration that because there's so much going on in the constellations that's affecting us, to have somebody come on who could help us better understand. And so I did, and Revolutionary Goddess totally enlightened us. In fact, I had just my last client now, and one of my students in my yoga class say to me, "Oh my God, I listened to the show on Friday last week, and my husband actually listened. And in fact, he asked, can we listen to it again? And then my last client just said, I need to listen to that again. And I know there's a lot of information on last week's radio show about what the stars and the moons, planets are doing. And speaking of the moon, have you guys noticed the moon? So we had a full moon on the 17th, which I believe was Tuesday night. And we're building up into the winter solstice. And so this has been considered an energy gateway, starting on the 17th with that full moon, leading up into the winter solstice that's happening tomorrow. And the exact time that it's happening is at 12:11 p.m. New York time tomorrow. So 9:11 L.A. time, and that's 6:11 p.m. in Central Europe time. That's the exact time of the winter solstice. And it's apparently really big. They're doing some ceremonies over in Glastonbury at Stonehenge, apparently because that's a prime portal. And I don't know, I feel really woo-woo when I'm using words like this. But it seems like it. Let me back up for a second. I talked about this a bit last week on last week's radio show. In that, in my yoga teacher training, living in India, and in my 20 years of being a meditator, and even more than that, being a yoga practitioner, there's an element of the yogic world that is completely related to what's happening in the sky, because that is affecting the cosmos. And then at our crown, the top of our head, our crown chakra, that's what brings in the cosmic energy. And that's what some say is the divine energy. That's where we connect to our divinity and even our higher self or the divinity. And so that divine inspiration is at the crown, comes through the crown chakra, the top of the head. And so that then influences the rest of what goes on for vital life force energy or chi or prana in our entire chakra system. So the more that we're in alignment in receiving and open to receiving that and aware of receiving it, the more it increases. And so that's my motivation, bringing that down. And that's really so much of what this time is about, is the marriage of the mundane, the everyday physical life existence, and the spiritual, instead of it any longer being to pray up and out to some divine source outside of ourselves. If you look at all of the new sciences, talk about this age of consciousness, and you listen to others like me, we're all talking about this is the era of feminine consciousness. We have just in last year on December 21st, now almost a year ago, last year's winter solstice, that was the galactic alignment that the Mayans and many other ancient cultures, including Nostradamus, who isn't quite as ancient, predicted. And the Mayans built those pyramids to help the Earth harness these high vibrations that they predicted that were going to be coming onto the Earth. And all that means, apparently, in a more simplified way, it means a lot, but I'm going to simplify it just for our most basic conceptual understanding to be able to proceed and understand, okay, so what does that mean for us and what I've been experiencing this week and what I'm feeling and how best to work with it, is just that the planets are each rocks, and they're having their own element of magnetism with each other. When they circle each other, a certain energy gets created. And astrology is such a science, and I am I'm a complete neophyte in it, in astrology, and I don't know the science at all. So how do I say this differently? What I do know is that in the ancient cultures, they looked up at the sky and they looked up at the stars, and that was their basic form of entertainment. They figured out or named all of the different constellations, and we still go by those today, as well as the moons, pardon it, the planets. So, wow, look at that. So, the energy gets affected on our planet because we're on a big rock, and the energy of the chi or the prana, or another way to say it, the vital life force energy, is electric and it's magnetic. So vibrations are measured in hertz. Like if you go on YouTube and you Google the Sauvageo frequencies, those are measured in hertz. And what I know that I've suggested to a lot of my friends and people on my newsletter is check out like the 482 hertz. That's good for the heart. So these Sauvageo frequencies are an ancient frequency scale based on the Gregorian chants that were believed to have healing effects, that then a Harvard, I don't know if he was a psychiatrist or a neurologist, I don't remember what exactly his field was, he did a study on these frequencies and found them to affect the brain and shift the body. And so they've been married to the resonance or the meaning behind each chakra. So what I'm doing right now, if I've lost you, is helping you understand the meaning of and the impact on us of what's happening up in the cosmos. And one of the things is that because this energy that circulates, the chi or the prana or the life force energy that's all around us in all animate life, like the trees and the sky and the butterflies are fluttering about around it and through it, and it's in every one of our cells that circulates throughout our body down along through meridians in the Chinese system. Acupuncturists put needles in on points along the meridian. So like if you go and you're complaining about a rash, they might not put the needle anywhere near the actual skin outbreak. They might put it in your big right toe, because there's meridians that will transfer the vital life force energy all throughout the body. This vital life force energy gets turned by the chakras that are in the central column or the spinal column, and that crown chakra at the top is what allows in more of that. And so if we have a whole bunch of dumping of higher vibrations, that means our crown chakras are going to be more busy. But also, in the reporting of what this new era, so last year on the winter solstice on December 21st, I was at the Mayan ruins. I was a yoga teacher on a yoga cruise and an energy medicine practitioner on the yoga cruise, and we got to play with this Mayan shaman right at the pyramids, and I had no shoes on, and my feet, as some of you have already heard this story before, were pulsating from the ground. The ground was pulsating, and it was like affecting my feet, and I could feel it. I didn't feel it when I had gone there the year before. So the ground was charged, and we've been building in what this new era means in its actual impact on us. The energies are continuing, and they're not slowing down. It's actually increasing, it seems like. And you know what's cool is that when I wrote my book in 2010, What If There's Nothing Wrong, I was talking about this shift. I was reviewing a lot of different scientists and pioneers talking about the shift coming up, and it's been named the Great Awakening, the era of humanity's spiritual awakening, the era of the return of the feminine consciousness, the Great Shift. There's a lot of different names out there for it. But when I was writing the book, I was talking about what this new era is meant to be about, cooperation and community and collaboration, as opposed to more ego-driven clashings that are based on more Darwinian, only the fittest survive, competition, competitiveness, and guilt and shame and lack and fear. All of that is what is dissolving, because it can't make it. That kind of heavy, dense energy or measurement of hertz vibration, that heavier, denser kind of a vibration can't make it in these higher vibrations that are coming through. And so last year on the Mayan Galactic Alignment, December 21st, this really began at a whole new level. It had started approximately, like, I don't know, some say back in 1987, that harmonic convergence was the beginning of the 25-year opening to bringing this time in. But I started to see the effects of it 5 years before the actual alignment last year. Nonetheless, coming back to present day, it seems like with these high vibrations, they're casting up and out of the darkness, out of the shadows, what was hidden. And if that's something that isn't compatible with the higher vibrations, so when I say higher vibrations, let's take this into what that looks like for us beyond the hurts or the electricity or the magnetism. And let's look at the emotional realm. When we're depressed, we're not energetic, right? So that's a heavier or a denser or a lower vibration. When we're happy and we're joyous, that's a higher one. Only, how can you tell that? Well, because you're more bubbly, right? You're more alive. That means you have more life force running through your system. It's as simple as that. It's not more complicated than that, really, at the most basic understanding of it. So your vibration is lower when you're mad, angry, depressed, afraid. Your vibration is higher when you're trusting, you have faith, you have compassion. And with a higher vibration, you're able to create more easily. So that brings us to where we are today in this energy gateway. What it seems like is starting on the 17th with the full moon, or maybe even a couple of days before that, leading up into this gateway, the peaking of it being tomorrow, and then it's on through Christmas and meant to last until mid-January. It's bringing in a whole host of new energies. And you guys probably have heard me talk about this on just a few shows back in October, late October. I remember looking up at the night sky and feeling like I was being communicated with, I don't mean ETs, I mean just kind of like my guides, or I don't even know that I use that term, my guides. I don't know, archangels, or I had this awareness and it made me look up into the sky like something. It was the night sky and it was brilliant, really, really, really sparkly stars, that something's changing. There's a new energy out there. I could feel it. And I asked what it was, just to the night sky. What is this new energy I'm sensing? Kind of like I was a dog sniffing around at the base of a tree. And I heard the word ease. And so here we are now in December, and it seems like what I've heard from others is that in the last couple of months, myself included, there's been a called attention to working with the archangels. What does that mean? That just means, like, it seems like perhaps more people with expanded consciousness who don't just have a closed down mind to the physical dimension only, but they've opened up their multidimensional consciousness, which meditating helps you do. I mean, once you quiet the everyday cognitive mind and you start to just sit there observing your breath, you've now expanded your consciousness. You're not just locked into that thought machine. So with the expanded consciousness in comes other stuff observed, and that also one of the proven outcomes of meditation is increased sensory perception. So that's including the sixth chakra, the psychic senses. And so with that, some people then will work with the archangels because they'll sense them. I know that about 2 years before my mom died, the archangels were kind of, I heard this thought in my head, like, the archangels, they're here, they want to help. I would be around an archangel, like pictures of angels, or I just started seeing them in a lot of places, and statues of archangels, and I started seeing them in a lot of places. My perception was noticing it. It was like I was attuned to it. So this is a great example of intuitive development for those of you out there who are working to train that. When something catches your eye and it keeps showing up and it keeps catching your eye, your higher self is trying to send a message and attune to something. And so it seemed like, I poo-pooed it at first because I thought it was too woo-woo. I shoved it away with judgment. I didn't shove it away harshly. I was just kind of like, no, I'm here on the ground, not there yet. And it felt too woo-woo for me. So it was softer, my rejection of accepting working with the archangels. And then it just became so omnipresent everywhere that I was like, okay, get over your resistance, work with them. So I started to ask, you know, what? And then I started, I think I bought a book from Doreen Virtue, who's considered one of the experts on angels, and to get to understand what the different ones did. And so I've been doing that for a good couple of years now. About 3 months ago, I noticed that I was being really attuned to up my work with the archangels, meaning instead of the normal, I don't know, 45-ish minutes I spend a day on top of my meditation, working with consciousness and doing different clearings on myself and doing different prayer work and different work with consciousness geared towards all that I'm creating and desiring in my life, I up the by like another half an hour with the focus on the archangels. And in one of the communities that I am a leader in that I so totally enjoy, the Diamond Alignment community, which has a banner right above my head on the website for the radio show, we've been doing a sacred journey this month, and we called in the archangels for that too. So it would seem that along with these higher vibrations come in the archangels. Along with these higher vibrations is this incredible pristine energy. Like I have this image of a waterfall that's just rushing down, and it's like this clear, sparkly water, and there's so much light, it's almost like a crystal, the waterfall. And it feels like that's the nature of our times that we're in right now. And it's absolutely beautiful, like we are being showered with light. And that's actually what's been said. And I even said that on other radio shows before the alignment last year on December 21st. And even in my book, I alluded to that, you know, we're moving into the age of consciousness. That's what I knew at the time. And that's what I talked about based on quantum physics discoveries and based on what it seemed like the needs were in this postmodern, post-industrial era, that we're moving into the era of consciousness and using, therefore, medicine and other tools based on consciousness, not based on Newtonian physics, but based on quantum physics. But what that's expanded to in the 3.5 years since I've been back here in the States and have written that book is an understanding of actually how it's showing up. And it really feels like it's showing up with this really high, loving energy, this really supportive energy of, you guys can do it. This is a new time. New. I know that I felt that when I looked up at the night sky in October, like there's a new energy out there, like I just talked about. What I want to report to you, too, is a couple of different updates from different people who I've listened to report to me. One was a client, the last one today, and it was ironic because he had received my Theta Healing Tuesday night call and then went off into a dream and had a dream that he was riding a bike, and as he's going about on the sidewalk on the bike, all of a sudden an obstacle appears in front of him, and it was, I don't know, my sense of it was that it was like a black ballish pile of something that was in his way, and he heard in the dream in his head, use your power. And in the next moment he used his mind and he fought that obstacle right out of the way. What we've been working on with him is he's like, I think he's 6'4", and really tall, and really like a mad creative genius, Einstein. He even has the white hair. And bringing down his inspirations from the seventh chakra and the intuitions, and that's from the sixth chakra, and bringing them through the neck, through the throat chakra, down past the heart chakra, which is a great magnetizer to help magnetize to us all that we desire, all the support that would help us create something that we're desiring to create, and down through the third, the second, and the first, out the legs, down the feet. So I got this perception when I was at his head in a session saying, what momentum, what mechanistic motion do you enjoy exercise-wise? Because I'm seeing that it would be really beneficial for your system if you went back to exercising in some way. Do you ride the bike? And he said, yes, I'd love riding the bike. My wife and I used to always ride our bikes, and we haven't, and they need to get repaired, and so I'm going to take them in tomorrow. I mean, I'm shortening the overall conversation. And he did, in fact, take them in the next day. And he's been really happy riding that bike. And so today, because he had procrastination, he had the symptoms. I'm going to describe him, use the word as symptoms. He had the symptoms of having lots of ideas but not ever bringing them into fruition. So he wasn't that grounded a lot of the time, like just a lot of ideas floating around. So it seemed like with the riding of the bike, you got it, we were pulling down through his head into his body so that it's here in the physical plane, the idea energy, so that he can then push it out there, in a, not like he's pushing against resistance, but just present it onto the physical plane where the torso is below the heart. And so riding the bike helped him pull down that energy down to his feet on the pedals. And so he's been doing a lot of work in consciousness, asking different questions and really calling forth. He just started working with the archangels, I think, last week or the week before, and other work in consciousness to seed what it is that he's desiring before going out there and taking action. So before I move on to make the next point, he, at the end of today's session, my clients in their one-on-one sessions, they pulled this card, a card from this box of cards, and it's Louise Hayes, You Can Heal Your Life cards, I think is the name of the deck. It's in a green box, and it's actually, in fact, the same. I have two of this. I don't quite know how I got it. I think I may have inherited my mom's, or I gave her one, and then I bought another one. But there was one of those decks in that box that I used with my mom when I had resigned from my teaching and admin post in Istanbul and came back here to use the energy medicine on the brain tumor she had been diagnosed with, which was successfully eradicated from her head. And the doctors called her a miracle case. And I made us all really, really, really exhale. And then when we were doing the recovery work with the speech therapy and the physical therapy and the occupational therapy and the energy healing to continue to support the vitality and health and well-being of her, we would pick a card, my mom would, out of that deck. And it was really a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. And I swear to God, my mom put some magic jujus on that deck, or it's me, or it's the universe, or it's all of the above. Because I would say every time a client, except when they approach it with their head and they pick the card, reading it ahead of time, when they don't do that, when they spontaneously pick it, which is 99% of the time because they know that that's how it's meant to go and that's what they choose to do, it's always right on, and it helps inform me even more what just happened in the session, like in the silent energetics of it. So he comes out with the card today after this session, which opened with him telling me about this dream that he was so excited about that he just had after this Tuesday's Theta call. And it's, I am one with the divine. And it totally matched that image of him on the bike, bringing down the divine energy, channeling it in alignment as he manifests out his life. And he has the power to move any obstacles in front of him. And I just heard another story today of another woman who was worried. She was in lack and fear, and she was worried about starting this new venture and doubting herself. And she was driving over a bridge, and she gets to the toll booth, or she approaches the toll booth and realizes she only has $2. This is this week, too. And she was going through all these different tools that she uses in consciousness to be able to have it go well. She gets to the person at the booth, and she tells him what's up, and he just waves her on. And she was so startled, it seemed like he had to do it a second time. So apparently what was reported to us is that she drove away and heard something rather stern say to her, "You have the power." As if implying, it seems like, that she has the creative ability to create what she experiences, and there is no lack and there is no abundance. So it seems like between those two messages, one of the things that I'm hearing through anecdotes this week, and I've had a circumstance this week too that has shown me the same, we're being shown our creative power. And this energy gateway we're in, it's a portal right now. One of my other clients this week is a beautiful 85-year-old retired preacher, I think is the correct title to call him. he was talking about how, now he hadn't listened to my free Wednesday night call for the Energy Gateway. He didn't know the lingo. He didn't know the words. He doesn't ever listen to stuff like that for me. He just comes with everything I'm on. He started to talk about, I asked, do you guys have a tree at home for Christmas? No. Well, yes, we have a small artificial one with automatic lights. We used to have a, and then he used a word I didn't recognize, but he meant by that word nativity scene. And what he was saying was the Spanish word for portal. And I didn't know this, and I grew up born and raised Jewish, right? So I didn't have, I had Hebrew school training. I didn't have training in the church. And so that Spanish word for portal, what he explained that to mean was that apparently Christ's birth, what Christmas is considered a portal to be able to connect with God. And he said it's a gateway to be able to connect more with God. There's a gateway around Christ's birth that opens up a gateway to connect with divinity. And we can all construe, we all construe that whatever way that our mind is construing divinity, source, universe, God, however we do it, Allah. So I called my free call this week, the Energy Gateway call. Yeah, it's all coming together. It's brilliant, the synchronicities. It's so beautiful. And without even having that in my background, without even knowing that, and I don't know how many of you who did grow up Christian know that there's that's a portal and a gateway. So my information for this being a gateway came from a much more New Age geared website, a couple of them, and as well as some books that I've referenced. And they're not just New Agers. They're people who help people work with their minds and help people work with their consciousness. They're facilitators, they're coaches. So it's not just out there in the stars. Or, and I'm interested in the fact that I keep talking about New Age is out there. Because is it? Isn't this the New Age? Isn't that what I'm sitting here saying? So we have, including myself, apparently judgments about the New Age being woo-woo and being out there and intangible and impossible to, or not possible to digest or not easy to digest or something that we don't approach because we'll get judged for it. We want to make sure that we're not too woo-woo. And in fact, I moved to Asia to go to the source of who understands the invisible. And in our country, who understands the woo-woo might be one of the ways we put it, and learn how that energy runs throughout the body and contributes to well-being, health, vitality, and longevity. And this woo-woo stuff is all part of it. And part of my the crow con acknowledging that, and part of what it seems like I focus on is talking about the intangible energy being as valuable and at this point, if not more valuable than the physical. And I relay that to also taking care of our own health. So my book explores the mind-body connection and the power of consciousness and brings in the Asian perspectives on that. And here we are in an energy gateway. And you're hearing me recognize just the bigness of the contribution of what we're experiencing in our bodies on this planet from the cosmos. So I know that it seems like stuff like this shows up in hints and clues. And the example I gave of seeing statues of angels or pictures of angels everywhere. And I mean like in different locations. I don't mean like I went to a church where there, you would expect to see pictures. So what our perception seems to be attuned to is great information for us to observe and get intuitive guidance from. And it's a really important time to listen to our intuition because it seems like the information that's coming through. Now, here's somebody with a PhD, and here's somebody who got some of her worth proved to her as a child based on her intellect. And so the power of the mind is something that I am conditioned with and learned in my early 20s to meditate to help me decondition that. And the nature of the times we're in right now seems to be nonlinear. It seems to be information that kind of comes in from the side or comes in from the back door. It's not all the time linear and concrete and sequential. And so what we may have a couple of years ago dismissed as illogical, unreasonable, even possibly irrational, what I've heard others recommend, as well as myself, is don't just dismiss them. See if there's information in there. Just sit with it, hold it, contain it in a more feminine action rather than the dismissing of it. So part of what we've moved into is a gateway for the feminine consciousness, right? So this mini portal that we're in right now, it seems like we're reaching the critical mass of people experiencing that purity of the feminine consciousness, and that we're at the threshold now where we've actually made the shift. And when I say that feminine consciousness, I also mean people who have been working with the lighter, softer energies and bringing them forward, and higher vibrations and bringing them forward. And so the crumbling of the old structures based on ego and old paradigms of lack and not enough and I have to get my piece of the pie and fear. What's being shown, I mean, I've heard it described out there, and you guys have even heard me say it, that this is a time we're moving into a massive abundance where there's not the fear of not enough, where we realize that we are naturally abundant. And we realize that not just in our minds, but we live it. Because we're moving into the arrival of the miraculous, which means basically that we're able to see how we create what shows up in our lives. And those of us who have worked with our minds enough and worked with our systems enough so that there's a high enough vibration in them, let me correct myself, we're creating no matter what. Our thoughts, our points of view are creating no matter what. If we don't work with our minds, what we're dealing with right now is a much more reactive mind. If we have a fair amount of density, this is a symptom of the times that we're in, particularly this week. If we have an amount of density still, where there's still a lot of clearing out that needs to happen of old conditioning and heaviness and heavy beliefs that, you know, it's either self-judgment or it's playing victim or it's blame or it's I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy or it's fear, can't make this happen, this won't ever happen, lack of trust, the person's going to hurt me. All of that old programming that we inherit, that's breaking down in the contrast of this time we're moving into. And in Revolutionary Goddess last week really did a great job talking about that at a very personal level. I'm approaching it more from the societal level so far, even though I use the personal anecdotes. I'm now just now moving into the more personal. I liked something that she said, though, and it's almost like an emotional self-esteem where it's okay to be who you are. You've been put through or you have gone through enough of your own resistance to changing that you realize the resistance isn't helping. I'm using different words. And so you choose at some point from a place of wisdom, maybe I should just surrender and give in to that which I've been resisting. If I've been resisting leaving this job for security purposes, but I hate the job and I know I have this great idea that I know would just apply, something most likely is probably going to happen to take you out of that job. So one of the things that Revolutionary Goddess last week said was that we are in a time where uncertainty is the name of the game, and I've been saying that for quite a long time. Uncertainty, be comfortable with it. Get comfortable with it, because in the uncertainty, that's more the feminine consciousness. It's more aligned with where we're going. In that uncertainty, that's where creation happens. So figuring out how you're going to make it happen isn't really the nature of the times we're moving into and living in currently. It's more kind of asking questions. How would this happen? What is the best way for this to happen? As you want to manifest something new based on your soul's desires, because that's part of what's peeling out right now, is those more ego-driven, conditioned, reactionary behaviors. We're being kind of commanded to get in line with ourselves. And so one of the places we're moving to as well is unity consciousness. In this evolution of humankind into the era of spiritual awakening, part of what is with that is unity consciousness. The heart chakra is involved here. And so there's a sense of getting in line with yourself so you can be aligned with and collaborate with all the brilliant beings around you to create even more. And one of the things that's also said is because this ego-based reality is on its way out, and it's kind of like for a very long time, we've been led to believe that this reality exists a certain way and we have to play the game a certain way. And there's been a lot of people who haven't wanted it played that way. They've felt the lack of integrity in the way that the game had been played. They felt the lack of honesty and collaboration and community and cooperation. I mean, I've had men in their 50s and 60s come to me as clients with their insides torn up from making certain compromises that they didn't feel comfortable making just to make the money. It's that kind of thing that's leaving now. We're moving into a time, it seems like, of alignment. And so as this more ego-based reality peels away, that means that the games made by the ego mind, and indeed, I know some of you are thinking of more masculine consciousness, because we are moving out of the era of masculine consciousness and into the era of feminine consciousness. And each of us has both in us. I know some women who are more masculine, and I know some men are more feminine. I mean, that's just old school stuff. So this exiting of the old game, it means that what we're moving into in this new age of the miraculous, of a higher vibration of the era of spiritual awakening. What it also seems to be calling forth is that we are more able now than ever before, if we're in alignment, to manifest what we desire, what our soul desires, what our deepest passions are. And so if we clean up our mind, if we pay attention to the chatter with some kind of practice, and we gain some sense of discipline over ourselves and our mind just churning out all of these reactionary thoughts, and we allow ourselves to reach for the new, in that reaching for the new, that's where we're going to be able to expand and be in alignment with the nature of the times and pull ourselves out of suffering that's more based on reaction. Self-love is also a huge part of this time. And to do what I just described requires the self-love to give yourself the life that you desire to live, to give yourself the opportunities to create what gives you joy and what brings you juice. Because if you're doing that, then that means you're going, what, with your most natural alignment, with what you would most naturally contribute. And if, I don't know, let's just play with these ideas. Let's say that we're all children of God. There is a God. And we're part of some big divine plan, and we're each a part on a quilt, a patchwork quilt, and each of us, by honoring what each of us has to give for at our deepest level, I don't mean to say that because it's just not the right phrasing, but honoring our own unique beings' contribution, because nobody sings the way that Jill sings, and nobody paints exactly what Steph paints, because they each have their own interesting point of view with their own experiences and their own being. And so it may sound cliche and it may sound trite, but it seems to me what's also being asked for, not just from what seems to be happening all around us, but also what people are saying that they want more of, including my clients and customers, is alignment with their authentic self. It's like people are tired, not even just the light workers or the people who have been pioneers in the cutting edge of consciousness and doing this work for decades like myself, but everyday people are awake and feeling like this need to be more and do more than play the game. The robot mode is being kind of ousted. And that's apparently what is one of the things meant to happen. So, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, is there a divine plan to this all? Sometimes I wonder, like, is there some big intelligence that's just, I mean, I just don't, we don't know, right? But it just seems like such a masterful plan. And I remember, too, when I started to doubt perfection, when I started to become cynical towards perfection, that was a definite era in my life. I was heavily intellectual at that point. I was between bachelor's and master's. And so the mind's like that, right? Yeah. So I just wonder about that doubting of perfection. Because if you look at sacred geometry, if you look at the flower of life picture, and if you look at palm trees, the way the palm fronds just go in that perfect circular way, sprouting outward, if you look at a snowflake, if you look at any of the natural wonders in the world, then you can see the natural alignment with the sacred geometry. And there's perfection in that. And it's the same way that, like, a single cell expands out and becomes like a fetus and an embryo, or embryo and then a fetus, and then a human. And so that sacred geometry, it's everywhere in nature, and it's in humans. And I don't know, like, this morning after I wrapped up my work with consciousness, my play with consciousness, actually it was just as I came out and I sat down at the table I normally do it at, an orange monarch butterfly fluttered by me. Before it went by me, it came up and sat on the bench next to me, opened and closed its wings a couple of times, and then flew away right over my shoulder. Now, I get butterflies a lot, but today reminded me of Wayne Dyer, actually, on the cover of his book Inspiration, where he's holding the monarch butterfly on his finger. That monarch butterfly has a lot of sacred meaning for me. With my mom, when I used to live in Asia, we'd be on the phone, one of us all the time, on one end, or even sometimes both, would see a monarch butterfly. So since she's crossed over, actually, that has even more meaning to me. And I don't know, it just kind of is, it's like, everything's okay. It feels like that's another message of this week, even in not just of this week, but of this times we're moving into, where there's not the worry, there's not the fear-driven consciousness. That's not even consciousness. That's not even awake. I mean, it's the easiest thing to go into doubt and fear, isn't it? It's old training, and that's the old game. But expressing yourself as a soul is who you really are, and following your divine mission and contributing to planetary freedom, that seems to be where we're moving into, the energies of the time we're moving into. And so, yeah, that requires some self-love, and, yeah, that's going to require sometimes going into reaction. One of the things that I've noticed this week with almost everybody I've spoken with is computers have been whacked. Telephone reception has been whacked. Behavior. So one of my clients works in a building with 2,500 people. And after like the fourth person, they're like, is everybody, they sent out an email to everybody, is everybody experiencing issues with the phones? Yes. I mean, I've had random stuff happen that just doesn't normally happen. I would suggest that that's the hertz. That's the high frequency. So these high frequencies are coming down onto our planet during this gateway time. And apparently I learned today, too, that the Mayans always said that the solstices, whether they're winter or summer, both are a gateway, an energy gateway. This one feels particularly special. It's the 12:11 tomorrow, the winter solstice again at New York time. And I have a desire to offer this to my regular radio show listeners who didn't make the Wednesday night Energy Gateway call. That was free activations and free clearings for this time that we're in to help it be smoother and easier. If you go to my website, the main page, there's a landing page for the call. You can sign up there to be submitting your email, and you would then get the recording from the call. And then what would happen is you'd also get the special offer to more information on it. Not a lot, because I don't spend a lot of time talking about it. The special offer was something that came to me knowing the chakra system and knowing that each chakra contains a domain of life, and that if we start at the root chakra and we go all the way up through the crown chakra and we clear out the negative conditioning or the old beliefs or the unconsciousness or the subconscious blocks that don't allow that chakra to turn as the wheel it is, because that's what chakra means in Sanskrit, then there is not going to be a flow of vital life force energy or chi or prana down throughout the entire system, as I've already talked about. And so working with Theta Healing, each recording of the series has about 15 minutes of instruction about the issues, like the root chakras related to abundance and money issues and groundedness, and it's connected to the feet and the knees and the legs. And then you get 45 minutes of chakra healing after that, where it's the clearing of the blocks most typical to that chakra and that domain of life. And all of us have some chakra, and it goes all the way up through the sixth and seventh chakra. And what I've done, that's normally on my website offered as its own package, and then you can buy each of them separately too. But what I've done, because of this energy gateway lasting through mid-January, I asked, okay, so what would help? I mean, people like to go through the new year. They like, you know, the new year resolutions. It isn't really what I do at all, or what most of the people I work with do, but there's that sense of newness. And in fact, this energy gateway is exactly that. So how do you really have that newness to clean out what's inside? So that's why I wanted to bring forward this offer. It's always on my website, but what I'm including now to help encourage people who might need a little bit of a encouragement to do this is you listen to, so you buy the package and you listen to the root chakra for recording a couple of times, maybe a week. You're going to hit chakras that are more blocked than others, and you'll know when to stop listening to it. Like, you'll know when you're done, okay, so it feels, okay, I don't really want to listen to the second chakra one anymore, and you'll move on to the third. You don't have to necessarily do them in the order. I would recommend it, though. It just would build a better foundation for you. By the and by the way, the third chakra has like half an hour of instruction because it's such a biggie. That's the will center. That's the manifester. That's the fire. That's related to the digestive tract. That's the clear sentience. That's the empathic one. I mean, that one is a biggie. And so all the others have about 15 minutes of instruction and then the 45 minutes of Theta Healing. What I'm pouring into the special package that I'm offering to you guys from today's call too, and the nature of the energy gateway that we're in, is halfway through, like after New Year's, I want to, on New Year's Day, in fact, I'm going to send a self-care guide for the chakra system that's going to include yoga poses and essential oils and flower essences, crystals, tones, colors, foods, exercises. Like the third chakra, one of the key exercises for the third chakra is running. It'll make sense when you learn more about the third chakra if you don't already know about it. So that self-care guide is getting sent out on New Year's Day to help you as you're halfway through. Then in mid-January, at the end of this gateway, I'm offering another free call to help following up on what you have cleared by then. Which will be a call of clearings and then a question and answer time too. When I found when people work with the Theta Healing with me in person and through distance, is it gets to a point where they need to have me come in and do energy healing session, whether it's up in person or in distance, where I'm going through the chakras and I'm clearing and then reprogramming. It's different than the theta healing. So because I'm working with you all at a distance, I'm going to go ahead and say, okay, let's do a final clearing call to kind of boost you guys. It's kind of like a broom. When I go in, people come to me after having received theta healing. I feel like I'm being asked to dust out and clear out the person's field of all of the beliefs that got called out. And then renew. It's fantastic, because when we empty old conditioning, we make room for the new. And this is a new time we're in. So that's why I'm putting forth this offer. And if you go to my website, there's a landing page where you can register for the call and get the free call from Wednesday night with the clearings and the activation. And then you can have access to there's a special little code on the recording towards the end for how to go about buying the chakra healing series. You can also just go right to my website if you want right now, and you can go to the services tab, go to the chakra healing audio series and click on that, and you'll get to this page. And then when you buy it on the memo part for PayPal, write Energy Gateway, and that will trigger the system to know that you're also going to be getting the guide and that you're part of the call in mid-January. And information will be sent out in mid-January for that call. So I really, really want for you all to have the best holiday season ever. Much love and light. Bye.
Thank you for joining us and allowing yourself this time to expand and become more of who you're here to be. Dr. K has a range of different offerings of her vibrational upgrades at all price points, including free. So for more information, please go to www.alisonjk.com. Dr. K's first book, What If There's Nothing Wrong, is available on Amazon.com. Dr. K also has a weekly clearing and activation call that is attended by her most advanced clients and students, an important activity in keeping themselves aligned and their vibration high. We'd love to have you come and play. Om Shanti.